This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Robert Singer, a board-certified plastic surgeon based in La Jolla, California. He is here to speak with us about many facelifts. Dr. Singer, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So if you would, Dr. Singer, tell us, what is the difference between a mini facelift and a full facelift?
Well, generally, a full facelift focuses on the central portion of the face and the lower portion and the neck, while a mini facelift usually turns its attention to improving just the central third of the face or the cheek area between the eyes and the upper lip. And actually, the definition of what a mini lift is, it varies tremendously from patient to patient, and each surgeon has a different interpretation of what that involves.
And also, how is a mini facelift performed, and are there different techniques involved?
Excellent question. Yeah, there are very different techniques. For some, it will be just a small incision and just elevating a little bit of the skin and not doing anything in the underlying tissue. Those don't last very long and give more of a pulled appearance. For others, it will be a shorter incision than a standard facelift incision, but also varies depending on where the amount of aging is occurring and what is you're trying to achieve in improving it. So the incision will vary from patient to patient. It needs to be individualized. It'll vary depending on the concerns of the patient, what they want to achieve, their anatomy, and the experience of the surgeon. It will also vary in what's done with the underlying tissue, the deeper tissue called the SMAS, which is the tissue under the skin that overlies the underlying musculature. Most experienced plastic surgeons, board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, who do a lot of these procedures and do them well, want the results to look natural. They don't want them pulled and mask-like. So that involves then tightening the deeper tissue in the appropriate direction, a more vertical correction, so it doesn't have that artificial look. That also enables the result to last much longer than just doing the skin. Now, not everybody's a candidate for a mini facelift. It really depends on what the desired result is, the extent of aging, genetic predisposition to how you've aged, amount of sun exposure, your skin type, medical history, whether you use tobacco or not. All of those influence aging. And a mini facelift is great for a patient with early aging, usually somebody in their 40s, maybe even early 50s, or somebody who's had a procedure before and now would benefit from a small secondary procedure for further improvement. If there's an extensive amount of aging, laxity in the jowls, in the neck area, a mini facelift is not the right procedure for that patient. Then they're going to benefit from a more standardized facelift, which have improved tremendously in looking more natural than they used to.
Now, you mentioned earlier that not everyone is a good candidate for a mini facelift. Who is a good candidate for this procedure?
As I mentioned, it would be beneficial for a younger patient or those requesting maybe a secondary procedure after facelift, after they've gone on and continued age. The facelift or a mini facelift will turn the clock back, but it doesn't totally stop aging. So who's a good candidate? Somebody who understands the benefits, understands also the risks that are involved, the recovery period. And it's not for those looking for a dramatic result or have extensive aging, they need to be medically healthy. They need to have appropriate help postoperatively for the recovery period. They need to understand that it's not like getting your hair cut, but it's also a procedure that doesn't involve the extensive discomfort that abdominal surgery or orthopedic surgery generally has. It's a very different procedure. On the other hand, you're black and blue, you're swollen. You have to understand that for a certain period of time, you're going to have to restrict your activity as far as exercising, gym, yoga, for generally 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks for those more aggressive activities. As far as your appearance, it depends on the extent of the procedure. It depends on your history of healing and bruising. Patients with a very minimal procedure may look reasonable in 7 days, 10 days. After a facelift, most patients look good at 2 weeks. Some will require some makeup on a little after that. But the results continue to improve over a period of months, although usually you look socially acceptable the period of time I just mentioned.
And certainly most helpful information shared today. We are with Dr. Robert Singer, a board-certified plastic surgeon based in La Jolla, California, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So, Dr. Singer, also, how does someone know that they are ready for a mini facelift versus just receiving routine Botox injections or dermal fillers?
Well, I most plastic surgeons, and I include myself, do Botox. We do fillers. We think they're terrific adjuncts, either in the patient who wants some improvement, who can't have surgery, isn't ready for surgery, or doesn't need surgery, or as maintenance after. They do very different things. Botox will diminish the activity of the muscles, like in the forehead, the between the eyes, or the crow's feet lines on the side of the eyes. Botox or Dysport, it's like Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, different, similar product, different companies, lasts 3 to 4 months. If you continue that on an ongoing basis, which you're never obligated to, it diminishes the progression of the lines. If you do it once, you know, you'll get the improvement. It's temporary, and the lines continue to go on. Fillers act very differently. Fillers will plump up the area where you've lost volume or there's a deficiency. For example, what we call the nasolabial folds, the area between the mouth and the cheeks, which is often an early sign of aging. And some will just genetically have that. The other thing that can be placed in that area is microfat grafts. Now, fillers, the hyaluronic fillers, which are the building blocks of your own tissue, generally last 6 to 9 months. There are some that are thicker, that last longer, but aren't necessarily appropriate in that area. They may be okay over the cheekbone area for patients who have a slender face and they need a little more volume there. But anything that's done should look natural. The difference between the filler and fat's your own. You can't be allergic to it. You can't reject it. And 30 to 50% of that lasts permanently. So that's very different from a temporary filler. There are some permanent synthetic fillers, but I will tell you that uniformly plastic surgeons will not use those because of the fact that if there are problems, the complications are permanent also, and there's a much higher rate of complications with permanent synthetic fillers. So I think those have gone by the wayside. Now, those have a role for the patient, as I said, with early aging or for maintenance. They do not produce the same result as a facelift. There is no non-surgical facelift. There are procedures that can tighten the skin, radiofrequency. There are either benefit from skin care. All of those things help, but they're not a facelift. So anything that's promoted as a weekend facelift or a quick alternative to a facelift where you're healed in a day or a lunchtime facelift, I think those are inappropriate marketing terms that don't live up to those statements. So if somebody has more aging, they're not going to get the same result with a filler as with a facelift. For the patient who needs a facelift, or would benefit from a facelift. Nobody needs it, but if they benefit from a facelift and want it, only a facelift will do that. The extent of whether it should be a mini, a modified, a full facelift that involves the central cheek, the jowls, and the neck area really depends on their anatomy and an assessment by an experienced ethical plastic surgeon. The problem with a lot of these procedures that come with a name, those are marketing terms often, but they come with a name procedure. The physicians who are doing those often will try to fit the patient into the procedure. The best thing is to fit the appropriate procedure to the patient. Not every patient can benefit from the same procedure. There is no universal approach that will make everyone look better and natural. So it's a very individualized approach. I was asked when I was running a panel on facelifts at the Maine Plastic Surgery meeting, the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, a couple years ago, what's the biggest advances in facelifts as you've seen? Some people said, well, it's working on the SMAS tissue. One, it's adding fat where there's a deficiency. I said I think it encompasses all of those, but the biggest advance that makes things look most natural is the individualization, the appropriate assessment of the patient to pick the right procedure for that patient.
Certainly some tremendous coverage here covering the mini facelift, and we can't thank you enough for all the information shared per your expertise. Lastly, what is the recovery process like? Are the results permanent?
Well, let me ask this, answer the latter portion first. The results are permanent in the sense that you will always look fresher and better if you have the procedure than a twin who didn't. So you're always ahead of the clock. 20, 30 years from now, you're still ahead of the clock. However, the clock continues to age, and aging, again, is very individual depending on genetics, your lifestyle, your health, sun exposure. All of those things will play a role. Now, a mini lift, again, there's variations, but a mini lift will not produce as significant an improvement. Not everybody needs a significant improvement, and it won't last as long. So the improvement may last 5 years, 6 years, maybe a little longer. In a full facelift, the studies have shown that the average person will turn the clock back anywhere from 8 to 14 years. And as I said, that's a permanent gain, but you'll continue to age. Most patients who have a full facelift don't come for a secondary procedure. They may have additional fat injections. They may have fillers. They may have Botox. Some will want to continue and have their outer appearance match how they feel inside and want to continue to look fresh, and they may have a secondary procedure. Often that secondary procedure can be a more modified or a mini facelift. So there's permanent gain in both, but there's a different amount depending on the extent of the procedure and the extent of aging you have and your individual genetics, what you've inherited from your mother and your father. Let me answer, because I didn't answer the rest of your other question. Recovery varies from patient to patient. Patients need to be realistic. The best thing they can do to speed up the healing process is follow all of the instructions from your plastic surgeon. Make sure it's done by a board-certified plastic surgeon. If it was a member of my family, it would be the member of the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. Realize that you can't rush the recovery. You can slow it down if you don't follow instructions. You need to be off of things that interfere with coagulation ahead of time, like aspirin and anti-inflammatories and multivites and supplements. Discuss those with your plastic surgeon before you have the procedure. Make sure you follow the instructions, that you follow the instructions for icing the face and keeping your head elevated and activity. And those are the things that are important in not delaying the aging process. Patients who have underlying medical problems may have a little more delayed healing. Patients who smoke need to be stop any smoking before surgery, because smoking definitely delays healing. Most patients after a mini lift will be socially acceptable after maybe 10 days. After a full facelift, after 2 weeks, usually with a little makeup on, incisions, carefully placed, blend in with time, and the scars get better with time. So it's very different from the old procedures that were done that looked more unnatural and pulled. Now, you also asked about my practice. I practice in La Jolla, California, right next to Scripps Memorial Hospital. I do primarily aesthetic cosmetic surgery, and I've been president of the Maine Plastic Surgery Society, the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. I was chairman of the board of trustees of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons as well. And one of the other things that's important, I think, that should be mentioned is that some physicians, often those who aren't really qualified with full training, will do these procedures under just a local, and that's often because they can't operate in an accredited facility or they don't have one. I would make sure my surgeon had the appropriate training of the organizations I mentioned, that they're board certified, ideally by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, that they only operate in either a licensed or accredited office-based surgical facility or a hospital. Those are the key things that you want for safety. If anesthesia is being provided, it should be not be by the physician or just a nurse in the office. It should be by a board-certified anesthesiologist or certified nurse anesthetist. Safety should always be the main concern, whatever the procedure. And realize that not everybody is a candidate for a particular procedure that they come in for. They need to be educated about what is best for them and what won't achieve their results, and just trying to find the surgeon who's going to give you the exact answers you want to hear if you're not a good candidate is not in your best interest.
It is rsingermd.com. Dr. Singer, thanks for all the tremendous information shared here today on the mini lift procedure, and have a great day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate spending the time with you, and happy to participate with you anytime in the future.
And I think that's a great idea. Look forward to that. We've been speaking with Dr. Robert Singer, a board-certified plastic surgeon based in La Jolla, California. And for further details and to learn more, visit rsingermd.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.